seen a fulfillment of the scriptures
when it talks about being led by a little child, you know. I used to be proud and would have turned that down, Paul, but now I'm thankful. If I have one fear about being as old as I am, it's a fear of falling and thus being benched, not able to do the work of the Lord anymore. Couldn't help but think as you were doing the music and as that piano under the skillful fingers of this dear lady gave forth such beautiful music. I could have almost wished Bobby was here to hear it and not just have her name on the piano. But I was comforted by knowing that she's hearing even more beautiful music in a part of it in heaven. One of the last services that she attended with me, and we were out at Good Hope, and I had rolled her down the aisle in the wheelchair and had her about the second pew. I sat there with her, and Good Hope group were really on that night. They were singing, two elderly gentlemen playing the guitars, and one a bass and one a rhythm guitar, and they came to the chorus, and they really cut loose on the guitars. The pianist was at her best, and the people were singing, and all at once, Bobby, in her clouded mind by then, with the Alzheimer's, hollered out real loud, "Amen." And I want you to know that the singing really began then when she gave it the amen. So it's a joy to be here with you today. Edgar asked me to preach, and I began to pray about what I would say to you today. And then through Edgar, the Lord answered my prayers. I gave a sermon at the annual meeting of the association. And Edgar asked me, unless the Lord just really, really impressed me otherwise, to bring that message here today to you, because he felt that it was one that all of us really need to hear and take to heart. And so you will pray with me now as we seek to do God's will in these moments. Our Father, we thank you for this opportunity. And I pray now that you will take all of the preparation that's been made for this few minutes. You'll anoint it with your Holy Spirit. You'll speak to us in plain language, but accompanied by the power of your Spirit, and that we will be faithful hearers of your word. And when the message is over, with Isaiah and with the Apostle Paul, we'll say, "Here am I, send me." We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn in your scriptures with me to the 12th chapter of the book of Revelations. And I warn you up front, I'm not going to try to bring you a list of all of the events that's going to happen when our Lord comes again. In fact, I concur with a theologian that I read recently. And he said that the book of Revelations and the prophetic message of the Bible was not meant to be used as a handbook by Christians to map out all of the events of the coming of our Lord, nor was it given to satisfy our curiosity about His second coming. But it was given to give us hope, bring us to repentance, and let us know that when we're part of the kingdom of God, we're part of His church, we're on the winning side. the cathedral sung a song in their farewell concert. And it was a song that said something like this. He said, "I've read the end of the book, and we've won." And that's the message of Revelations to us. If you're a child of God, you're a part of the church, we've won. You are on the winning side. The battle has already been won. Satan, just like the Battle of New Orleans, he just hadn't signed the armistice yet. So I want to bring to you this morning this message from the book of Revelations, chapter 12, beginning with verse 1. "And John on Patmos saw and wrote, and there appeared a great wonder in heaven." And the word wonder is not wonder like we think about it, but it was a great mystery. It was something to be wondered about. "A woman clothed with the sun, and the moon under her feet, and upon her head was a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pain to be delivered." And verses 3 and 4 tell us about Satan's effort to bring about the death of Jesus when he was born in Bethlehem. "And she brought forth a man-child," which had to be Jesus, "who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God to his throne. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his archangels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought against his angels and prevailed not, neither was there found any more in heaven a place for them. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him." Listen to this. "They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their life unto the death. Therefore, rejoice, you heavens, and you that dwell in them. Woe to the earth, the habitation of the earth, the inhabitants of the earth, and of the sea. For the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knows that he has but a short time." That last verse, I've said for years now that God did not put me on the time, place, and preacher committee for his coming. He put me on the preparation committee. But as I read the scriptures, I think Satan must know that his time is short. In fact, the last words I said, he knows that his time is short. And he's at war with God. He hates God. He wants to be God and can't. He wants the power, the majesty, and the glory that God alone is worthy to receive. And not being able to attain that in heaven, or with his accusations for him being cast out of heaven, he's still at war because he's seeking to deprive God of the glory that you and I could bring to his name. He wants to make us prisoners of war. And it is war today. And it's war on many fronts. You heard the news this morning, as I did. Earthquake between Tulsa and Oklahoma City, 5.7 magnitude. Buildings crashed and crunched. from the earthquake. Last weekend, an unusual freeze in the Northeast. The leaves still on the trees, not been raked from the, not having fallen from the trees, not having been raked from the earth, and the trees from the weight of the snow that fell broke. I have two sons living in Pennsylvania, and not far from them, people are still without power until this weekend. They have not had any power for an entire week now, 8 or 9 days. So with the elements, with the earth, unusual things, Satan in his great wrath. John pictures him of his tail as a giant alligator, just wiping to and fro, causing all the pain that he can. And we wonder about it. What is happening? Well, Satan is trying to destroy the church. He failed to kill Jesus and keep him dead. He put him on the cross and thought he had it made. But 3 days later, he lost the battle there too. And our Lord arose. But Satan is making war with God's people. And it's a war that's on every front, as I've already said. This came to my desk just Friday, and it talks about the football player, Tebow. You know, he was the one that during the championship game in the university that had on his patches John 3:16, and people looked up by the thousands. Got on the internet to try to see what he had, and thus that witness. Tebow still, not too much of a football player, some say, but he's still one great Christian young man. And here's some of the things that's being said about him. Because of his conservative Christian beliefs, he's made him a polarizing figure. Now that shouldn't surprise us. I mean, the Bible talks about, Jesus said he came to turn a child against his parents. The parents against the child. It's division that Satan causes in this world, and Tebow is just the center of that. One comic said, if he had, and this was, it was printed before Osama was killed, he said, if I had a gun with one bullet and there was Osama bin Laden and Tebow, I must confess that I would shoot Osama first. But if I had two bullets, I'd put the next one in Tebow. And ask why. People are being asked why they hate him so. And words like this, and pardon me for using the quote, because of that religious crap. Because of wearing his religion out on his sleeve. Athletes have no business trying to tell us, the world, how to live. And they hate him, and it's a war against Christ. And it's very prevalent today. We shouldn't be surprised. I mean, Satan tried to kill Jesus at birth, and that failed. But the church came along, and he went to war with the church. And Nero, that Roman emperor, that took pleasure in covering Christians with tar, and then setting them on fire, lining the streets, lighting the streets of Rome with burning Christians. It was during Nero's reign that the Apostle Paul probably became one of those candle lighting the streets of Rome. It was under his reign that Peter was killed. And Nero was gone, and they thought the worst, but a little while later, Domitian came along, And he was so vile and cruel until some of the people thought, they thought Nero had come back to life. And they were telling all over that Nero had. Domitian wanted to be God. In fact, he claimed he was God. He would not even receive mail, a missile of mail or a package that was not addressed to him with the title of deity in front of his name. He built great statues all over the Roman Empire. And he had committees in place to enforce the worship of those statues. And even it seems that he hired ventriloquists to cause those statues to speak and give edicts as of from God. He was a cruel man, wreaking so much havoc upon the church. Well, you think those days are over? They were back. Since I've been talking to you, at least five people have died a martyr's death for the cause of Christ across the world today. Between 180 and 187 people die each day across the world because of their faith. And there is a, in one of the lands, there is a man now that's condemned to die, and the only reason they haven't carried out the execution, there has been such an uprising against it across the nations of the world. And so now they have changed his accusation. They've changed the crime that he's supposed to be committed. That from being a preacher of the gospel to being an enemy of the state. And they're just waiting to execute him. It's war, folk, all over our world today. He is seeking to destroy the church, to discredit the church. And he's used some new methods now. One of the methods that he uses, if he can find a subject that's willing to, or unwilling, but yields to cooperate with him, he drags them down through temptations of the flesh. And giants are falling from the service of God because Satan is at war with the church. And if he can discredit one of God's leaders, and he does it often, he keeps others from coming to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. We're in a recession. And you say, well, that doesn't bother, it hasn't bothered us here like it has some. But last year, 96 churches suffered foreclosure of their properties because of the economy dipping so. False doctrine. People supposed to be preaching the gospel brag that they are the only ones preaching the gospel. But they've watered it down to how to have a happy, prosperous life. Don't worry, be happy is the gospel theme of today. The doctrines have been watered down. And many Christians today, if asked in a poll, would admit that they believe that there's some other way for people to get into heaven. And you shake your head at me that, I hear it. I hear it many times when I do a funeral. People that would stand up and argue and say the Bible is the infallible word of God. But Daddy dies. And they come to the poor preacher, Edgar or me or some other one, to do the funeral. And it goes something like this. Now, Daddy never made any profession of faith. He wasn't a member of the church. In fact, he didn't go to church. But you know, Daddy was so good to Mother. And he was a good neighbor. And he paid his debts, and he loved to hunt and fish, and He was good to us kids. What they're saying is, because Daddy was such a good man, he's in heaven today, and I want you to tell the people so when you do his funeral. But Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes unto the Father but by me. And if that's narrow, then it's the word of the founder of Christianity, the one upon whom we have placed our hope and deliverance. But the doctrines of the Bible have been argued about, but they're being changed. On top of that, God causes apathy within the church, because iniquity shall abound. The Bible says the love of many shall grow cold. You and I should love God more and more and more every day, because the commandment is that we're to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, and with all of our mind, and with all of our strength. And Jesus said to the church at Ephesus, I have somewhat against you. Oh, I know your work. You're having services every Sunday. You do all of these things, but I have somewhat against you because you have left your first love. I laughed this past week. I saw a new grandmother, and somebody came in, and grandmother grabbed her billfold out of her purse and showed a whole string of pictures of that new grandbaby to those. I believe she would have beat Billy the Kid to the draw on that. Why? Because she loved that young people with a red-hot love. How many of you have come into contact with somebody else and say, hey, I just got to tell you something. I got to tell you that Jesus saved me, but I want to tell you what he's done for me last week. And would you not receive Jesus as your Lord? No, we don't love God with that kind of red-hot love anymore. So Satan is fighting the church. We're causing our love to wane from him. And he's winning the war. Only 2% of Southern Baptists ever share their faith on a personal basis with anyone. And how can they be saved? How can they call upon one whom they've not believed? And how can they believe upon one of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear except John Q. Baptist member tell them? So it's war, folk. It's everywhere. People are dying for the faith across the world. Christian people are being slandered. And if that doesn't work, we're being ignored. They make fun of us. You pay a price. This year, a Christian who's a member of the state police sent out a message on state police Internet. He was called in immediately and told he was not to do that. He was not to talk about God on that. And then he was called back and said, you're not to send anything on Internet without police approval. And it's more and more now that you can't even mention the word Christian on some jobs today. Not only government jobs, but anywhere. You can't talk about God in the schools anymore, openly, publicly. Now you can, if the kids want to do it, they can get together and have a prayer meeting. But the teacher better not stand up and lead a prayer in that, or the schools are subject to be sued. So what am I saying to you? I'm saying to you that the church is under attack like it's never been before. Satan seems to know that his time is short. And the Bible tells us that Jesus is delaying his coming because he's long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. And so we have this war with Jesus, wanting to claim more and more. Satan wanting more and more to be lost, and thus he gets back at God. That's what's going on in your world, and that's the reason why. But this passage not only tells us about the war, it tells us that the victory has been won. The great accuser has been cast out. And a group there rejoicing before the Lord. And their victory came. Listen to this. Three things. Oh, we need nice church buildings with carpeted floors and padded pews. We need plenty of Sunday school space and we need all of these things, but we can have all of those. And if you don't have this, Satan will win the battle. The blood of Jesus. Without the shedding of blood, there can be no remission of sins. But if we're faithful to confess our sins before him, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us. And the Bible says that his blood keeps on cleansing us from all unrighteousness. I don't understand all about the blood. I know that in the old form of worship, they had the Holy of Holies where the high priest went once a year and he offered for his own sins and then for the sins of the people. And he sprinkled the blood from the sacrificial lamb. And some say that God couldn't see our sins in the record anymore. All he could see was the blood of Jesus. I don't get into that kind of speculation because I can't read that clearly in the Bible, but I can read that without the shedding of blood, there can be no remission of sins. And so we're saved through that blood that was shed on Calvary's cross. We have victory over sin. The penalty of sin is no more. The power of sin is broken in our lives. And one day we'll be away from the presence of sin for all eternity. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb. They overcame by their word of testimony. You can have all of the programs, you can have all of the ministries, but if you do not line up and start sharing with people that Jesus has saved you and how he did it and what he's doing in your life since then, Satan is going to keep on carrying our world and our nation step by step closer to hell. So they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. When have you shared yours last with anyone? One of the most embarrassing moments in my ministry is when I feel led to offer opportunity for a testimony service. And nobody wants to stand. And often I have to kindly break the ice by saying, that was good, who will be next? Silence all over the church. But the Apostle Paul talks about when a stranger comes, and if this one is telling about what God has done for him, and this one, that stranger will say, surely God is in this place. He'll turn to the Lord. As you are going, make disciples out of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded. That's still the marching orders for the church today. And Jesus' promise is still true. Upon this rock I'll build my church. And the gates of hell shall not be able to prevail against the onslaught of the ongoing church. He doesn't have, Satan doesn't have to worry about that in most places because we're not going anywhere but the church. Shall I share something with you? Satan doesn't care how many churches are in the land as long as they're not winning people to Jesus, as long as they're not teaching people, discipling them so that they are out there telling people about Jesus. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and because they counted not their life to be their own. These people weren't afraid to testify. In fact, that the apostles, you know, Peter and John were put in jail, and they were released, and they came, and they told the church they had been commanded not to speak anymore in that name. And what did they do? Said, "Now, Lord, you've heard their threatening. Now give your servants boldness that we might speak your word." They counted not their life to be precious for them. They had learned what it meant when Jesus said, "You'll be faithful unto me, even unto death." And it's when it's that kind of conviction, that kind of love for the Lord, that kind of action on the part of John Q. Christian sitting in the pews today, we'll begin to turn the tide and put Satan in his place. I wrote an article for the paper this week, and this week we have Veterans Day, and I tried to honor veterans past and present and those still in service. And I recall that on December the 8th, 1941, immediately after Monday after Sunday's Pearl Harbor Day, from my community, Bobby's brother, J.T. Reagan, Johnny Oswald, Bud Lee Ackland, whole group of men made their way from the Monroe area to Shreveport, and they volunteered for service to the United States of America. J.T. didn't come back until the war in the Philippines, the war in the Pacific was won. Bud Lee Ackland spent the wartime in a German prison camp. Another guy that left, Mark, we received him back. But men were volunteering for the service to protect our nation and to give us freedom. Some of us volunteered and couldn't get in. I volunteered 3 times. I thought surely one service would take me. And because of a prior surgical procedure, I was declared 4F. I couldn't handle it. I left school, went to work as a brakeman for the railroad, trying to win that war. Well, there's a war going on today, and the recruiting office is open, and we're waiting on you to volunteer for service in the Lord's army. All the requirements are, I don't care how many surgeries you've had, as that you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And if you do not know that, if you do not have the assurance that if you die today, you go to be with the Lord, today is the day of salvation, and the day that you hear His voice, harden not your heart. I invite you to come to receive Jesus today. But if you have received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the recruiting office is open for you to come and become an active duty soldier, calling up all of the National Guard, all of these people that had just been playing soldier during the week, you know, during peacetime, calling all of you to active duty because the war is on. Satan is in his last throes. He's in those suicide bomber days of World War II. It's still going on today. People, 38% of the world's population is Muslim. And they believe that if they can't convert you one way, they have a right to kill you. I know it's there because I've got a copy of their books, and it's in there. But God is calling you to do battle, and the only way that we'll win, that's relying, telling people about the blood of Jesus. Giving your testimony with everyone you meet. As you are going, we're the goingest people that ever were. Only 2% of Southern Baptists ever share a witness with a lost person on a personal basis. People going to hell. You'll overcome by the word of your testimony. And you'll only give that when you love Jesus more than you love self or anything else. And being a faithful servant of His, a warrior in His army. The recruiting office is open. Will you come today and dedicate yourself to fighting on the Lord's side in the only way that we can, while we stand, as we pray? Father God, we the army, Your people, somehow we've let apathy overcome us. Our love has grown cold. We're neither hot nor cold. We're lukewarm. And we have yielded to the voice of Satan. All you really need to do is just believe something. And what you need to do if you go to church, that's enough. Don't get overcome by this. Don't become a fanatic. Lord, help us to become spiritual fanatics for the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Help this great church to be in full force on a daily basis in this terrible war of Christ against the world and the world against Christ. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.